If you abide in my word, you are disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and have you never, ever been in bondage to anyone? How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So what do we have in our hearts, in our minds? Do we have a storage chest, or do we have a hope chest? When we have a storage chest, we just keep building stuff up, right? And Satan keeps us filled with our past bad memories. And it's his way of keeping us in bondage, right? This is what this says. We're not going to be made free because we keep this stuff locked up. We keep things from our past locked up in our own storage chest, like old pictures that we keep going back and reliving. Every day we do that. We all do it. By keeping the guilt and the shame and the anger and the unforgiveness locked away, you're crowding the Holy Spirit. Right? We got all this junk in our storage chest. There's no room for hope. There's no room for the Holy Spirit. Now, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit's in us. But we're crying out with all this other bad stuff going on that we keep, that we haven't surrendered. Right? Or do you give your past to Jesus and let him set you free? Do you have a hope chest? Do you give it all to Jesus? Do you allow him to set you free? Satan uses subtle ways to keep us in bondage. And today I'd like to talk to you about five of them. Right? We have to know who keeps us in bondage. Yes, it could be us. Right? We play a part in our sin. It's not always the devil. People want to blame everything on the devil, but sometimes it's us that are our own self-destruction. Right? We do that. But I want to talk about five ways that Satan keeps us in bondage today. So number one, Satan wants you to focus on what has been done to you. On what has been done to you. See, focusing on what has been done to us keeps the experiences alive in our mind, stirring up those emotions. Reviving the hurt. Stimulating anger and hunger for retribution and revenge, as well as making us see ourselves as a victim. We don't have to be a victim anymore, right? Because we're set free. We're set free by the Son. You don't have to be a victim anymore. Therefore, we label ourselves as a casualty and a person deceived or misled, and sometimes we often feel like a loser or a fool or a target for sacrifice or even a scapegoat for another's one sin. Right? Somebody says, put the blame on you. Well, that's not right. Amen? That's not right. See, putting on those identity markers are crushing to the Holy Spirit. We can't live like that. I've lived like that for years. For years. We can't live like that. We can't be a victim of our circumstances. We have to let that go. We have to have forgiveness. We have to give those hurts and that shame and that guilt to Jesus. We have to. Because if we put all those identity markers on us, then that's how we're going to live our lives. We're going to live our lives that way. And we're not going to allow for our lives to grow and to our hearts to grow in Jesus Christ. We can't be there, right? Most of the time, the person that hurt you may not even know it while they continue to suffer, while you continue to suffer. And for years, they may not even know that they hurt you. But yet we keep suffering that hurt. And that's where we have to forgive. That's where we have to forgive. The devil wants us to keep you there, reliving the past hurt by someone else. 2 Corinthians 11:20 says, for you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. You put up with it. We don't have to put up with that. We don't. You look at the bullies in the world today. They bully everything. Our own government's bullies. Right? The world's a bully. Everybody's a bully. But yet we allow it to happen.
We can't do that.
We put up with things when we shouldn't. Now, Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's.
We have to do that. But we don't have to put up with things that go against God. Amen? Because God's not going to put up with it.
Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you and your trespasses. So instead of for putting it up with it and just being like, ah, it's okay, forgive them. Forgive them. I was on a fire call Thursday night. I had the lights on, the whole works. And this guy just come flying past me. Past me, I'm driving. Boy, was I mad. I was really mad. I wanted to chase him down. But I can't let that bother me. Right? I didn't make you do that. Right? I had to forgive him and move on to the next call.
But we can't control what other people do. We can control how we react to it.
And that's where our part comes in. We can't let ourselves react harshly to others.
We can't do that.
So here's the big one. Here's where the guilt comes in. Satan wants you to focus on what you've done. He wants you to focus on what you have done.
Galatians 4:3 says, even so we, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world.
The world keeps us in bondage. Right? The world keeps us in bondage. See, focusing on what we've done in the past often fills us with shame and guilt of the people that we hurt, of the things that we've done to other people, to our family members, to our spouses, to thinking others, whatever.
And that's what the devil wants us to keep doing that. And I spent years looking back on my life and all the people that I hurt and did wrong to.
The devil wants us to keep reliving that. Right? And there was one instance in particular that crushed me. When I remember when the Holy Spirit brought it back to my mind. And I was probably in 6th grade, 7th grade in school.
And I was crushed. And there was no way I could ever apologize to that person. And the devil wants you to keep reliving that.
You're no good because of what you've done. But how do we overcome the devastating feelings of shame and guilt? Right? We all have that shame and guilt. We've all done something that we're not proud of. And the devil wants to keep us in bondage over that. Right? But how do we overcome that? Well, we confess it and ask for forgiveness and move on.
1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we just confess our sin and go to him. Jesus doesn't want us living in the past. He wants us living with him now and forever. We can't keep going back to the past, because that keeps us in bondage. And that's what the devil wants. Because if we're staying in that bondage, and we're focusing on things that we've done and things that people have done to us, we can't look forward. We can't grow in Christ. We can't focus on him. And that's what the devil wants. The devil wants us, our eyes off of God. He wants our eyes and our focus off of God 24/7. And we can't do that. We can't do that. And we have to be focused on God. Right?
We have to be. 1 Peter 4:3-4. And this is the New Living Translation. I love this. You have had enough in the past of evil things that godless people enjoy. Their immorality and lust. Their feasting and drunkenness. And wild parties. And their terrible worship of idols.
I like that because that was me. When I read that and found a translation that I wanted to bring, that was me. And I had enough of it. Right? Wild parties. We had some wild parties. Verse 4 says, of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. That's the devil. Come on, let's go have a beer. Right? No, I'm good. What's the matter with you? Can't have a beer. You're all holier than thou. Right? Who's that? That's the devil. That's the devil. We shouldn't associate with those from what we did all this stuff with. We're supposed to be new creations in Christ. Amen? Don't let your past and your peer pressure allow you to give in to temptation. And I think I told you this story that there was a get-together with a friend of mine, and I really struggled on whether to go or not. I really struggled with it. I wanted to go. And I decided not to. And when I decided not to, like 2 days later, the guy that put this all together was my best friend at school. And he called me up and he said, I'm sorry to put you in that situation. Because we change. We're supposed to change. We're new creations in Christ. We need to be different. And we need to lead by our actions. Amen? So, don't let your past and peer pressure allow you to give in to that temptation. See, when we keep our past bottled up inside, we allow that shame and guilt to control us, which allows the enemy to control us. That's what that does. That leaves a door wide open for him to come in and to be controlling. We keep secrets safely tucked away in our storage chest, which keeps us in bondage. We keep those tiny little sins and those tiny little secrets that we think that nobody sees. Locking our hope and our freedom away with it. Because when we do that and when we lock all that stuff away, we lock our freedom away with it. Our freedom in Jesus. Our freedom in being who He wants us to be. And our hope in the risen Christ is locked away with it. And we think nobody can see it. Right? We think, oh, it's locked away. Nobody's going to see it. Nobody ever find out. Who sees it? Come on. Who sees it? God. Mm-hmm. Amen. God sees it. He knows. He knows everybody's secrets and our sin. He knows it. He wants us to confess it, not keep it locked up inside. He wants us to have a hope chest, a hope in Him, not a storage chest with a big old padlock on it. When I was putting this together, I kept thinking about cedar chest. Right? A cedar chest. My mom has one. Grandparents had one. Pretty much every person in my family had one. I wouldn't go that far. Pretty much though, huh? And then, our oldest had one. In his room for a long time. Right? Cedar chests. You put everything in them. And you can keep things in there for years. There's stuff in my mom there from the when the astronauts landed on the moon. The papers. You keep stuff forever. I have little kiss dolls in there too. We don't want to keep things locked up in a cedar chest for years. Right? We think that nothing will ever happen with that. Though might not be destroyed, but we can be destroyed by it. Right? We have to let him out. Another way how he keeps us in bondage is he wants us to rely on conditioned,
coping mechanisms. And what that means, he wants us to go back. When we're having a trial or a tribulation, he wants us to go back to the things we know. I'm having a bad day, I'm going to go get a beer. Right? I'm having a bad day, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. We can fill our hurt with so many different things. With drugs, alcohol, food, sex, you name it. We can fill it. Watching crazy stuff on TV. There's all kinds of coping mechanisms that we can do. And that's what the devil wants us to rely on. He wants us to go to the world and our previous coping mechanisms that we've always used to get through the day. To get through the day. But relying on conditioned coping methods is yet another way we hold ourselves back. We hold ourselves back, and we can get so caught up in turning the world to cope that things that we lose our joy and our hope, right? And when we do all that, and when we rely on those old coping mechanisms, what do? We fall back on our old self, right? We fall back on the old self that we used to be before we were created a new creation in Christ Jesus. We go back to that old us. We go back to that old us, and we all do it. Because that's what we're used to. That's what we're used to. We're used to doing those things. 2 Peter 2:18 says, "For when we speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, and the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error." Everyone has ways of coping with things that happens in our lives. Why would we want to rely on the world to help us when we can go straight to God? We can go straight to Him. God bless you. We can go straight to Him. We don't need all that other crap getting in our lives. We can go straight to the Savior. He can get us through anything. He is the God of all comfort. And He tells us we are going to go through trials and tribulations. The devil wants us to hold us there. And if we keep focusing on those, then that's where we're going to be stuck. 2 Peter 2:19 says, "They promised them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity, for people are slaves to whatever has mastered them." Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Goes back to that drugs and alcohol and sex and lust and TV and food and whatever. If we stay there for our coping mechanism, it masters us. Right? It is in control over us. And who is that? It's not God. God doesn't want us there. God wants us to move forward. He brings us through the valley of the shadow of death, right? He doesn't keep us there. He doesn't say, "I'll be back for you in a minute." Right? He keeps us going. He keeps us going. So, what is the answer? Well, you have to acknowledge that you're powerless, right? We have to acknowledge to God that we're powerless, that we can't do this on our own, that we can't do this. You need to stop trying to fix things and allow God to take over. Because we're fixers. We want to fix things. We want to fix things in our lives. We want to fix things for our families and do for everybody else. But we need to let God take over. Because God is God and we are not. We are not God. Amen? Jesus calls us to a self-examination. He doesn't do that to not to condemn, condemnation of our past. We're responsible for our thoughts and actions. Right? We're responsible how we act and the things that we do. We're responsible for that. And actions, one of my favorite sayings, they speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. See, our part is to realign our life to His will, is what we have to do. We all have a sin nature. We inherited it from Adam and Eve. And the desire to control our own lives as well as everybody else's. But trust and rely on God is essential to experience life abundant out of what life throws at us. What's that old saying? Life throws you a lemon, make what? Lemonade. Right? The devil gives us something, turn it into a blessing. Right? How we react to it, we can turn that into a blessing. Right? We have to have the joy that God gives us. We turn it into a blessing. Hey, praise God. Thank you that you brought me through this. Thank you that I learned something from this trial.
Yes.
Amen. We flipped it and the devil loses. And he loses and God wins. But if we stay in that bondage, if we stay in that storage chest, we're not going to have that freedom. We're not going to be able to turn it into a blessing. Because we're going to be stuck there. We're going to be stuck there. We got to turn to Him. And I got to be honest with you, you'll never have peace turning to the world to cope. And we have to have the confidence in God that He's going to do what He says. It's in His time, right? It's in His time.
Amen.
With our church here, I know God gave us a vision, right? And I know God's going to bring it to fruition. And I know we need things, right? We need a lot of things for the church. But instead of saying, wow, look what we need, say, look what God has done. Look what God has done. He has blessed us so much that I know that He's going to continue blessing us. Because He's not a liar. He's not a liar. But it's in His time. We have to be patient, but be confident that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. But we have to have that peace, knowing and having that confidence. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And number four, and there's not much more. Folks don't know it. You try to overcome and heal in your own strength. We try to do things in our own strength. Trying to overcome and heal in our own strength is one of the more common ways we hold ourselves back. We're more than overcomers in Christ. We set our minds on forgetting the times Jesus has helped us and move ahead. Sure, we can do better or make all things right in our own strength, right? We can do things in our own strength, but when we find ourselves right back in a similar situation or relationship, and we're surprised. Why did this happen again? Why am I back here where I was? Oh, but you did it on your own. We feel surprised and demoralized, right? Because I just can't do it. Yeah, you can through Christ. We can do anything through Christ who strengthens us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Don't let yourself go right back. Rely on Him. Galatians 4:9. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? We return to things. Dog returns to its own vomit, right? Have to watch when a dog throws up, I've got to pull him away. Because he eats anything.
Yeah, he does.
But why, how is it to turn again to the weak and beggarly elements? When we turn to Jesus and all of a sudden, we turn back because we think we can do it better. Right? We have a different way of doing it. Right? That makes it better. Well, no, it doesn't. It just prolongs Jesus' blessing you.
2 Peter 2:19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage.
So a journey through 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles in the Bible shows how a nation repeats history. Right? We see that in our own history. It repeats itself.
The same is true of individuals. We're not always at fault for what has been done to us. You have to know that. Just because something's done to you, it doesn't mean it's your fault. But if we fail to examine the past honestly and follow God's instructions on how to be healed and live a whole and fruitful life, we are complicit in repeating and practicing the sinful behavior we once held so dear. We can go right back to it. Pretty easily. Pretty easily. Holding on to the past often skews everything in our lives, from our relationship with other people to a relationship with God. It skews it because the devil wants us to keep us in bondage. We're ultimately responsible for the choices we make. Satan doesn't want us to go to God. He wants us to go with ourselves. God gives us a choice. And we're responsible for that choice that we make. As Eve was and Adam was. Right? Eve was deceived. Adam was disobedient. He made a choice to be disobedient. We're still dealing with that today, right? With sin. But we're responsible for our own choices. And the devil always wants us to go with the wrong ones. 2 Peter 2:20 says, "For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning." So what this is saying is people have escaped the pollutions of the world. Right? Doesn't necessarily mean they were saved. But when you see that, why do you want to go back to the world? Why do you want to go back to the world? You don't. You've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior. And when we do that, and we rely on other things, they become idols. And this is the fifth and final thing. Satan wants us to set up idols. Right? Because he wants us to worship everything but who?
God.
Leviticus 26:1 says, "You shall not make idols for yourselves, neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God." See, idols used to be carved out of wood or stone. And they would keep them. Right? And they would worship them. Because they needed to see something to worship, to believe in. That's why faith is so important, because we're worshiping the one true God. We don't know who he looks like. But we can see him through the lives of Christians and through love. Right? So, but now, instead of wood or stone, we idolize celebrities. Sports figures, right? Our own body image. We idolize sex and money and technology, right? How often is everybody like this? On their phones. Awesome. That's an idol. And we have to break away from that. I'm not saying don't go on your phones, but put God first. Amen? Put God first. Because wherever we spend most of our time and our money is our idol. Inevitably, idols crumble. They disappear. Celebrity and sports figures change with the season. And our bodies grow weak and wrinkled. Economies shift, right? Money evaporates. Possessions can be stolen or lost in a tragedy. Look at the tornadoes that just hit. The possessions that were lost. They were just possessions. They can be replaced. Yes, I'm sure there was some amount of value to things. But we have to look at the blessing that I'm alive. Right? We have to see the good out of bad. And I pray for those people that lost things. That's devastating. But we have to realize that idols, same thing. Here 1 minute, gone the next. You know, that new iPhone or the entertainment system is obsolete within months of buying it. And you're spending $1,000 on it. Well, we did. I mean, it's the way of the world, but we can't put it first. All idols do is offer empty promises. And that's what Satan wants you to go to. He wants you to have empty promises instead of the promises that God fulfills. When tragedy or some catastrophic event comes, most people know instinctively to cry out to God. 1 Corinthians 12:2, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Before we came to God, we were always led astray by idols. Even today we are. We talked about in Wednesday night Bible study, 6:30, for those of you who don't come, you're welcome. We're doing minor prophets. We're in Jonah right now. So in Jonah 1, we were on the ship, right? All the other guys on the ship cried out to God because the ship was going down. When tragedy strikes, that's the most times that we cry out to God and ask for forgiveness.
And that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. But it happens. Thank God that people cry out to Him. But it's an instinct. Everybody wants to say, I don't believe in God.
But can you pray for me? Well,
yeah, I'll pray for you. Pray for you to know God. Pray for you to know God. It happens. It happens. Mark 10:47 says, and when he heard it, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The shortest prayer in the Bible, the shortest prayer that we could ever say is, help me, Jesus. Right? He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Crying out to him. Only he is faithful. And the question is, will we stand firm and abide in Jesus or waver and fall with the first breeze? If we stand firm and seek him, he's going to make sure we find him. And when we do, will we experience the fulfillment of what we longed for so long? Life-changing, eternal, lasting love. We don't have to keep things locked up in our storage chest. Turn it into a hope chest. That we have hope in Jesus Christ, that he's going to get us through everything that we're going through. All the past, everything the devil throws at us, where he wants to keep us. We don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay there. At all. But only the Lord has the power to free your heart, mind, and soul. The devil will let you know that you can do it, but you can't. The past is part of who we are. It is. It's there. But we don't have to dwell in it. Amen? The past is always going to be there. But we need to pray for open eyes and hearts as we examine honestly what happened in the past and what unhealthy patterns and coping mechanisms come out of it. Right? We have to ask the Holy Spirit to show us the bondage that we're in. Because sometimes we don't see it and we don't know it. We all live through trouble and painful experiences, some far more worse than others, right? But we all have a past. You know, people say, we all have a past. I could stand up here and give you my testimony, and somebody out there probably can relate to it. And someday I might do that. But we all have a past. It's, are we living in that past, or are we living now with Jesus Christ in the future? We can't stay there. We can't stay there and stay in that bondage. If we dwell on those things, we make ourselves captives to our past. When we make excuses or defend ourselves and trust on our own strength and ability to outwit or outrun the enemy of our souls, we lose. And who's that? The devil. The truth is only the Lord has the power to free your heart, mind, and soul. So I asked you, do you have a storage chest filled with the hurts from the past, locked up by Satan, or do you have a hope chest in Jesus that has set you free? Not can set you free, has set you free. As soon as you've accepted him, you have been made free. You are free indeed. Glory, hallelujah, in the name of God.
Amen.
But we keep ourselves locked up. We're free. We got to live like we're free. I'm going to finish up with this. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty of which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Only he can be trusted to bring beauty from ashes. You hear me?
Only He can be trusted to bring beauty from ashes, not the world. The enemy wants you to think of that, but no. Only Jesus can bring light from darkness and open our eyes to see our past as a part of who we are while setting us free to live beautiful and abundant lives that He has planned for us. When we live our lives fully to Jesus Christ, we begin the journey to become the person He created us to be. We are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus for good works, which He has already prepared for us. He is our true Father, and our real home is with Him now and forever. Unlock it all up. Let all that garbage out of that cedar chest, out of that storage chest. Get it in that chest of hope, which is in Christ Jesus. So if you need prayer, I ask that you come on down. Our thoughts, our hearts to You, Lord, today. And I ask that You be with each person that is here, Lord, and camp Your angels around them. Give them what they need. Protect them and bless them, Lord. As You are the great I Am, Lord, we just everything we do, we want to glorify You. Lord, and we praise You and give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And I ask now that you all go with God. Amen.